بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى علمه شديد القوى ذو مرة فاستوى وهو بالأفق الأعلى ثم دنا فتدلى فكان قاب قوسين أو أدنى فأوحى إلى عبده ما أوحى ما كذب الفؤاد ما رأى أفتمارونه على ما يرى ولقد رآه نزلة أخرى عند سدرة المنتهى عندها جنة المأوى صدق الله العظيم. My most respected elders and brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are in the third week of our discussion on the history of revelation. Just a quick recap, very, very quickly. Last week we spoke about the one way in which wahi would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the form of a ringing bell. We also spoke about how the first verses of Surah Alaq were revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the cave of Hira. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes back to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it comes in Bukhari Sharif, that his Mubarak heart was shivering. The heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was uneasy. So Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what happened? So he explained to her all that transpired in the cave. Her immediate response was, Kalla. Because he said, لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. I feared for my life. I thought I'm going to lose my life. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha said, Kalla, wallahi ma yukhzik Allahu abada. It will never happen that any harm will come to you or any disgrace will come to you. Allah will never disgrace you. And the reason for that is you're a good person with good qualities. That when a person does good, then good will come to him. And if a person does evil, then he can only expect evil to come to him. So she said that you do five things on account of which only goodness will come to you. And most of these five things are to do with hukukul ibad, helping the creation. Number one, innaka latasilur rahim. The discussion is something else. We're not going to go into the details, but let us apply our minds. Innaka latasilur rahim. You join family ties. وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْبِ. And you carry the burdens of others. Literally carrying someone else's load or someone's financial burden. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was the son of Abu Talib. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to his uncle Abbas radiallahu anhu and he says that we can see Abu Talib is going through financial constraints. I take one child and take care of him. You take one child and take care of him. In that way, we lighten his financial burden. So Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, and Abbas radiallahu anhu took Hazrat Ja'far radiallahu anhu. All of them were Sahaba. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu grew up in the home of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the age of 9. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam received Nubuwwat at the age of 40. He was 9 years old. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tahmilul kal. You carry the burdens of others. Wa taksibul ma'doom. You earn for those that are deprived, those that can't earn, those that are old, maybe infirm, maybe widows. They can't earn. A person is incapacitated, disabled. You go and financially assist those people. وَتَقْرِ الضَّيْفِ. And you honor the guest. You take care of visitors and guests. You host them. You feed them. You house them. وَتُعِينُوا عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. You assist at the time of calamities. Beautiful qualities. This is a whole bayan on its own. As I said, let us apply our minds. How much are we doing these things? For which Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha said, that if you are doing these things, then harm won't come to you. Bad won't come to you. Only good will come to you. So anyway, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, she took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Waraqa ibn Nawfal ibn Asad ibn Abd al-Uzza. It was her cousin. وَقَدْ تَنَصَّرَ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. He was a Christian in the period of time when people were worshipping idols. And he knew the Hebrew language. He would write from the Hebrew language, the Injil. He used to copy from the Injil, which was in Hebrew. And he could write in Arabic and he could write in Hebrew. So he was known to be a very, very educated person that knew the previous scriptures. وَقَدْ عَمِيَا كَانَ شَيْخًا كَبِيرًا. He was an old man. وَقَدْ عَمِيَا. He was already blind by that time. Then Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha went to him, her cousin, and she said, hear what your cousin has to say, what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to say that transpired with him. So he said, Oh my nephew, Ibn Ammi, oh my nephew, tell me, what do you see? Mada tara? What did you see? What happened? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the whole incident that happened with him with Jibreel alayhi wa sallam in the cave of Hira. So Waraqa bin Nawfal said, this is the same angel that came to Hazrat Musa alayhi wa sallam. And he understood that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final Nabi. He said, Ya laytani kuntu jaza'an. I wish I was a young man. I could help you. Kuntu hayyan. I could be alive at that time when your nubuwat would become apparent and known to everyone. You are a Nabi of Allah. But at the moment it's concealed. It was going to become apparent much later. 3 years later when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go on Mount Safa and would announce. And that is when Abu Lahab said, Tabban laka sa'ir al-yawm. So it was to become known later on. But I wish I was alive at that time so I could help you. Because your people are going to chase you out of Makkah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got a shock when he heard this. He said, Awa mukhrijiyahum. They call me Amin, As-Sadiq, the trustworthy, the truthful. Those same people that love me today, are they going to drive me out? He said, no Nabi of Allah came with the message of Allah to his people, except that enmity was created between him and his people. This is going to happen. So anyway, Waraqa bin Nawfal, he didn't live very, very long. He passed away thereafter. Ulama say that Waraqa bin Nawfal was among the early Muslims. Some ulama have written that he had accepted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a Christian, he knew Allah Ta'ala is one. And here he affirmed and he accepted that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Prophet of Allah. And he also was prepared to help Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he is included among the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, from that time that Jibreel alayhi salam met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave of Hira, for 3 years was called Fatratul Wahi. There was no Wahi that came. And in that 3 years, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through a great amount of difficulty. Great amount of difficulty. The feelings that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through in that 3 years, very, very difficult. There were times when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would actually feel like throwing himself off a mountain. Went through that difficulty. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would console Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, after 3 years, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is walking and he looks up at the sky and he sees Jibreel alayhi salam is sitting on a throne. And that same feeling that overtook him, because this was all of a sudden, that same feeling that overtook him when he was in the cave of Hira overtook Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He started to shiver, his heart started to shiver. He goes back home, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me, cover me, cover me. And after 3 years, see first surah Muzzammil. Then after 3 years, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'anzir. Now stand up and warn the people. That is when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on Mount Safa and gave the message to his people. So, there were different ways in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would receive wahi. The most difficult way we explained was the first way, mithla sol salatil jaras, like the ringing of a bell, continuous from all sides. And we explained what would overcome Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time. The easiest form in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received wahi was when Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam would come in the form of a sahabi, in the form of a man. Often he would come in the form of Hazrat Dihya Kalbi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the famous hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, where sahaba say, we saw a traveler come in. We didn't recognize him. Shadidu bayadith thiyar. Shadidu sawadi sha'ar. Clothing was very white, which is contrary to a traveler. His clothing would be dusty and dirty. His hair was very, very black, jet black hair. And he came and he sat with his knees against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's knees. And he placed his hands on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's thighs. And he said, Akhbirni, tell me, what is Islam? What is Iman? What is Ihsan? Mata sa'a, when is Qiyamah going to come? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered these questions. Then he left. Sahaba was still wonderstruck. Who is this person that came? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, ulama say, at that moment in time, he didn't know this was Jibreel alayhi salam. And the amazing thing Sahaba say, that after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered the question, he said, you're right. So they wondered, what is this? Person is asking and then he knows the answer also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba, go and call him back. Call him. So at that moment in time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood that it was Jibreel alayhi salam. So he said, Umar, do you know who it was? He said, no, I don't know who it was. He said, that was Jibreel. He came to teach you your deen. So there were incidents like this when Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the form of a human being. By way of extension, yesterday was the 17th of Ramadan. Battle of Badr took place on the 17th of Ramadan. 5,000 angels came down in the form of human beings. They came down with turbans on their heads. Some say white, some say red, some say yellow. They came and they fought against the kuffar. That was an assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Jibreel alayhi salam came in the form of a human being. And there were some occasions where he revealed himself in his original form to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had requested, now Surah Najm, I recited Surah Najm, Allah ta'ala explains the two occasions. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَىٰ. That angel of strong faculty, ذُو مِرَّىٰ, possessing vigor, as we explained last week, that the shaitans couldn't take a chance with him, wahi was protected. Fastawa, he stood poised. Wahuwa bil ufuqil a'la, when he was on the elevated horizon, on the clear horizon, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibreel, reveal yourself to me. On the eastern horizon, Jibreel alayhi wa sallam revealed his original form and he spread his wings. When he spread his wings, he has 600 wings. Say when he takes one wing out, it covers the whole east. The one wing on the left covers the whole west. He spread his wings out. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jibreel alayhi wa sallam. And the sight of Jibreel alayhi wa sallam affected Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's tabiat also again. And that is why, ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّى. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi wa sallam changed his form very quickly and he came down and came close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the form of a human being once again. فَأُوحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَىٰ. And he conveyed the wahi to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was one occasion. The second occasion, وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَىٰ. On another occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Jibreel alayhi wa sallam in his original form. And that was on the occasion of Mi'raj, in the Sidratil, that low tree, Sidratul Muntaha, that is right on the top of the heavens. So that is where the station, where Allah Ta'ala's messages come down to the Malaika, and from there the Malaika bring it down, and the different duties are dispensed from there. So that is where Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw Hazrat Jibreel Alayhi Salam in his original form. So these were two occasions mentioned in the Quran. There is another occasion, but that is not such a strong narration. The other way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received wahi was direct speech with Allah Ta'ala. One was in Mi'raj. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu's narration says it was direct. That means no parda in between. Other sahaba say there was a hijab in between. Direct speech, but Allah Ta'ala spoke directly to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in the form of a dream, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. And the fifth way in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received wahi, which we explained last week, was nafath fi raw, where it was ilqa, it was placed in the heart, for our understanding, just in the mind of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The message just came into his mind. How a person received the message on his phone, he got the message. So in the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he understood this is a message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that was how wahi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this concludes our discussion on the history on wahi per se. Now we're going into the next section, which is the Quran al-Majid. The Quran al-Majid and some details, because the Quran al-Majid is wahi matlu, is the recited word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the revelation, exactly as it was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in the Quran al-Majid, you will see there are two types of surahs. Some surahs are Makki and some surahs are Madani. What does this mean? Makki doesn't mean it was revealed in Makkah. Madani doesn't mean it was revealed in Medina. Simple explanation, Makki means Unzilat Qabla al-Hijrah. This surah was revealed before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Medina. And Madani means Unzilat Ba'da al-Hijrah. After Hijrat, it was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It could be the whole surah was revealed like that before Hijrat or after Hijrat. It could be that majority of the ayat were revealed before Hijrat or after Hijrat. And so it is classified as a Makki or a Madani surah. There could be some verses that are Madani that are in a Makki surah. There could be some verses that are Makki in a Madani surah. And it doesn't refer to where it was revealed. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. This verse is regarded to be a Madani verse, but it was revealed in Makkah. But the reason why it was revealed, or why it is called a Madani verse, revealed after Hijrat. That is why it is called, on the occasion of Fatih Makkah, that is why it is called a Madani verse. Although it was revealed in Makkah. So there could be revelation that took place in a battle, on Safar, in different places, as we showed now, that it is revealed in Makkah, but it's still regarded to be a Madani. So the ulama explain some signs and some ways to understand whether a surah is Makki or Madani, which is a bit interesting. So I thought I'll share it with you. I left out other details, which might not be so appealing, more appealing to people that are in the field, but I will share some details with you because it is interesting. They say, how do you tell a Makki surah? They say the word kalla. When the word kalla comes in a surah, it appears 33 times. Then that surah is Makki. Because in Makkah, the arguments were different. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking to these people, majority are idol worshippers, non-Muslims. So the arguments that came down were different. The presentation was different. So kalla, Allah says, never. Innaha lava. Nazza'atan lishawa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing them to open their brains, to make them understand. So it's a very strong word. Kalla, never. So that comes 33 times. Any surah that has the word kalla is Makki. Any sajda ayat in the Hanafi madhab that appears in any surah, then that surah is a Makki surah. Besides surah Baqarah, when you read the story of Adam alayhi salam and Iblis, then that story will come in a Makki surah. When Allah Ta'ala uses the word, this is interesting. Ya ayyuhan nas. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O believers, Madani. Ya ayyuhan nas, Makki. You see? Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started his mission. So Ya ayyuhan nas, O people. When the Muslims became a bit strong, their numbers increased. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, Madani. And generally, see in Amma, Juz Amma, Surah Lahab, right in the beginning, third year, fourth year of Nubuwat, small surahs. So all the small surahs are Makki surahs. And all the lengthy surahs, a lot of ahkam, a lot of rules and regulations, those are Madani surahs. The Madani surahs will contain the laws of jihad, the command to and the permission to make jihad, the laws of jihad. Allah Ta'ala will speak about the munafiqeen, because the munafiqeen, they appeared in Medina. And as we said, the longer surahs, that will be the Madani surahs. So that takes care of the discussion of Makki and Madani. Then, the next discussion is that Musa alayhi salam received the Torah in the form of a tablet, one shot. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the Quran over 23 years. Why? So Imam Razi rahmatullahi, he explains some wisdoms why the Quran was revealed slowly. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدَةً. The kuffar said, why wasn't the Quran revealed one shot to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Allah Ta'ala explains, كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُعَادَكَ وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا. So under this, Imam Razi explains that number one, to make it easy to record and to memorize. One was to make it easy for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But also for Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they had leaves and bones. Imagine 30 Jews, one shot is revealed. How difficult it will be on them. This is the first encounter with Wahi, with Quran. To start recording it, to start memorizing it, it would seem like a mammoth task. So to make it easy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it down slowly. Alright, here's 5 verses. Digest that. Take that. Or the ustad, when you go to the ustad, starting hifz, he gives you all Quran, say, right, memorize this. What you'll say. So the student too, he'll find it very hard. Ustad said, alright, don't worry. Here's one ayat for today. Take the one ayat. Now it becomes so easy. Masabak now is one ayat. You got the whole Quran, is very hard. The second thing is, imagine if all the rules and regulations and injunctions and laws of Islam, one shot came. The woman was wear hijab, wine is haram, gambling is haram, interest is haram, 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 haram. A lot of people would have said, you know what, we can't do this. We can't do it, we can't manage. They would have turned away from Islam. So to make it easy, they had to build the iman. They had to build the isti'adad. So slowly, slowly, alright, do this now. Stay away from wine. Okay, now you start fasting. Now is Qurbani. So slowly, slowly, they were given the laws of Islam. Then, thirdly, we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was oppressed. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to hear a lot of words from the kuffar. So to console the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if Allah gave the Quran one shot, it wouldn't have been a means of consolation, constant consolation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So time to time, Allah ta'ala will send a verse or verses. And this will be a consolation for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and many times for the believers. And a situation will arise, shan and nuzul. And to get some guidance. Nowadays, alhamdulillah, the ulama will take out from Quran. Say there was an earthquake. So there was an earthquake, there was devastation, there was a natural disaster, and the ulama will give a bayan. Someone passed away, prominent figure, family member, the ulama will give a bayan. قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Now it brings such consolement to the heart. So who was going to do that for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who was going to give Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a bayan? He had to give the bayan to the sahaba, to the ummah. So Allah ta'ala made it such through the agency of Jibreel alayhi salam. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those verses would come. That would be the consolation. That would be the guidance for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for the ummah. And also, many questions were asked. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, okay, I will wait for Allah ta'ala to answer. I will wait for an answer. We understand from this that nobody knows everything. And we also should have this habit. Irrespective of my title, I don't know everything. I will find out. I will inquire. So, this leads to shan-e-nuzul. Shan-e-nuzul means, pas-e-manzar in Urdu. The background, reasons why these verses were revealed, which is very exciting. Certain verses were revealed with no background. Allah Ta'ala's rules, regulations, laws and orders. And certain verses were revealed when there was a background, there was a situation, there was a crisis. For example, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was left behind in one of the battles. I think it was Banu al-Mustaliq. Now Safwan ibn Mu'attal radiallahu anhu, he is sent back to pick up any belongings. You know, naturally people drop off some things, towel, something they leave behind, miswak. So he was sent to pick up things, and then he found Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, and he saw her before the laws of hijab. So she was sleeping, her hijab was off, and he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Lord is his mother of the believers is here. She woke up, she was startled, she covered herself. She said, he never spoke to me anything else. Look at the honor of the man. The honor of the man. He never spoke to me, just took me, put the animal down, through ishara, we understood, he led me back, he brought me back. Nothing happened. But the munafiqeen, they found an opportunity now to spread a rumor. So that caused a lot of difficulty, Surah Nur. A lot of difficulty it caused to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some innocent sahaba were caught up in the spreading of the rumor. So anyway, it was a lengthy period. Investigations were being done. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asking, What do you think of my family? What do you think of my family? Very interesting. So he asked one person, what do you think of my family? He said, your family is so innocent. 17 Ramadan, yesterday was 17, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha passed away on the 17th of Ramadan. He said, she is so innocent, she'll make the dough, she'll feel sleepy, she'll go and sleep away, and the goat will come and eat the dua. She's so innocent, they don't know. Muhsanat, the Quran uses the word, Yarmun al-Muhsanat. These women are so pure, they're like unmindful of things, they don't know. Today, what has killed our innocence is information. I'm talking about the children especially. When they are exposed, just digressing, as the Mufti Sahib was explaining yesterday, he said one mother asked 12, 13-year-old son, is addicted to haram on the phone. Addicted to haram. Mufti Sahib said, I feel sorry for this child because he's going to have to wait about 10 years to get married. What is going to happen? His mind is already now in something where he's not supposed to be. So when his mind is already exposed to something, to undo it is like impossible. To undo it. And so he's going to be in turmoil, restless, his mind is going to be corrupt, his heart is going to be corrupt for the rest of those years until he gets married and he finds some ease. So anyway, muhsanat. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was accused. It was a very difficult period. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi went on the mimbar and he gave certain talks and khutbas. And then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. She moved over to her parents' home in that difficult period. She's only crying and crying and crying. She was young. She didn't know about all these haram things. So innocent. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he goes there. And Umar Uman was the mother. And Hazrat Abu Bakr was the father. And they're telling her, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, if you did it, then confess, you know? Confess. Then she said something in that state of hers that, you know, you people, if I say I didn't do it, you won't believe me. You're not prepared to believe me when I say I'm innocent. So she handed her affair over to Allah. Immediately wahi came. Immediately, there and then, in the house of Abu Bakr, wahi came. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's head. The breathing started. The face went pale. The teeth started chattering. Now I say, something is happening. Then the verses of Surah Nur. Inna alladhina ja'u bil ifki usbatum minkum. Allah Ta'ala consoles. Don't think it is something bad. La tahsabuhu sharran lakum bal huwa khayrun lakum. It is good for you. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَكْتَسَبَ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ. Each one is to get his share of the sin that he earned. So anyway, Allah Ta'ala exonerated. It was an honor for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Allah exonerated her in the Quran. So this is what we call Shan-e-Nuzul. Shan-e-Nuzul. The incident continues, inshallah, on some occasion. We'll explain it. So, like Surah Lahab, when Abu Lahab said, تَبَّلْ لَكَ سَائِرَ الْيَوْمِ, Allah responded, تَبَّتْ يَدَا بِي لَهَبِي وَتَبْ. Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a, on the occasion of Fatih Makkah, he sent a letter through a woman to do a favor to the Quraysh so they could do a favor to his family. But he was a Badri Sahabi. So anyway, Allah Ta'ala says, لا تتخذوا عدوي وعدوكم أولياء. Don't take my enemies and your enemies as friends. These are your enemies. You can't be good to them, no matter what. So anyway, that was the incident behind that. Then, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. When a fasiq comes to you with any news, then verify that news. So there's a lot of verses like this. The whole Quran Sharif is filled with these types of verses where there was a shan in Nuzul and there was a background. And the last discussion for today, very, very quickly, actually this is Maulana Vaid's topic. Maulana Vaid should be discussing this, but we will just attempt, make a weak attempt to discuss this. And this is regarding the qiraat. The different qiraats of the Quran and Majid that appear in the Quran. Look, there's a lot of detail. There's a kitab called Ulumul Quran. I don't know if it's translated. Mufti Shafi Sahib's kitab goes into a tremendous amount of detail. But just to clear the air, because Mufti Shafi Sahib explains that there's a misunderstanding. When you talk about seven qiraats, then there's a misunderstanding. The background to this is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, he went to a certain tribe. And there at that tribe, Jibreel alayhi salam came and said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to order your sahaba and the ummah that they must only recite the Quran in one way. They must recite the Quran in one way and no other way. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I ask Allah for forgiveness. My ummah won't be able to manage this. See, qiraat came down in different to make the qiraat easy. Some people's tongue is such that they can't read the Quran in a certain way. No matter how much you try, they won't get it right. So for suhulat, to make it easy for them to recite, Allah Ta'ala sent down different qiraats. So then Jibreel alayhi salam went, he came back and said, okay, Allah gives permission for two qiraats. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I ask Allah's forgiveness. My ummah won't manage. He goes, he comes back, says three. I ask Allah's forgiveness. My ummah won't be able to manage. He goes, he comes back, he says seven now. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Quran has been revealed, ala sab'ati ahruf, in seven ahruf, seven harfs. Now around this word harf, there's many discussions, the whole discussion. Now what does this word harf mean, seven harfs? So they say the muhaqqiq ulama, the ulama that have researched the topic, they explain that there's seven types of changes. There's not only seven qiraats. There's more than seven qiraats. And in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were many more qiraats. To make it easy, because it was the first experience with Quran, Allah allowed them to recite in different ways. Meaning wasn't changed much, but Allah allowed it. Then Jibreel alayhi wa sallam would come and they would yudari suhul Quran. They would make revision door. SubhanAllah, how that silsila continues in the month of Ramadan. They would make door. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Jibreel alayhi wa sallam. And two doors were made in the last Ramadan. And then in those doors, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told that which qiraats now are cancelled. Those qiraats that survive till today are those that reached us through solid chains. So those that were cancelled and they were forgotten about. And Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they knew about this whole matter of qiraat. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu will explain so shortly, very quickly, what he did when he came to the qiraat. So anyway, seven types of changes that come in the Quran and Majid that may apply to more than seven qiraats. Right? So for example, just to explain, if a word is singular in one qiraat, the next qiraat might be plural. Kalimatun, kalimatun. The verbs, ba'id, ba'id. One scale to another scale. The zabar, zer and pesh. So the zabar, zer and pesh, sometimes it has a fatha, sometimes dhul arshil majidi, dhul arshil majidu. So dhamma and kasra changes. Sometimes a word is added, sometimes it's removed. Tajri tahtaha al-anhar, tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. So the min. Sometimes there's a change in the position of the word. Sakratul mawti bil haq, sakratul haqi bil maut. So the change of the word, the position of the word. And sometimes in the laws. What is the laws? So Mawlana will explain to us, right? Imala, tafkhim, tarqiq, and hams, qasar, all these things, right? The different, for example, our understanding. Wadduha, wadduha. So different ways of reading the word. So these seven changes encapsulate the different qiraats. Now you and I, we can't just do it. We can't just say, alright, Mawlana, you can just change one word here, one word there, no. It has to come in a certain riwayah. It has been narrated, like this is how you read it. You can't chop and change it and mix, like how mazhab. You know, mazhab, you take Imam Shafi's mazhab here for this masla, you take Imam Abu Hanifa's rule here for that masla, so it becomes, in our language, say kachumbar, you know, becomes a kachumbar. It don't work like that. So, it so happened that there was an alama. Trying to look for his name. So he had written the seven riwayats, the seven famous riwayats in a kitab. Allah made it such. Many people had written on qiraat. So he had written the seven different riwayats. Allama Abu Bakr Mujahid Rahmatul Alim passed away in the year 324 AH, over 1,000 years old. So it so happened that his kitab became famous. He didn't do it with this intention, but then people started having the misconception that when you talk about Sabat Ahruf and seven Qiraats, it refers to that kitab with the seven famous imams and their recitations. But it's not like that. Like Maulana will tell us, there's Ashara Qiraat, all Tawatur. Tawatur means it has been transmitted by a large number. All of them are very, very authentic. So Ashara Qiraat. Then you get 14 types of Qiraat. With the 10, there's another 4 also. Shahad, Tawatur, all these technical terms. I'm not going to go into the discussion. We request Maulana Vaid on one occasion, inshallah, to explain more details, inshallah, maybe after Ramadan, on this topic on Qiraat, so we can understand and appreciate. So nevertheless, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, in conclusion, time is already up in conclusion, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, when he compiled his Quran in such a way, remember, original script didn't have any nukta, any dots, didn't have zabar, zair, pesh. That is our next week's discussion. The hifazat of the Quran, compilation of the Quran, protection of the Quran, and the diacritical symbols in the Quran, where did it come from? That is our next week's discussion. The waqf and all that came much later, the stopping signs, etc. So the Quran was just basically the lines. Imagine writing the Quran with no dots and no zabar, zair, pesh, just the lines. So it was written in such a way, Rasme Uthmani, that most of the qiraats could be incorporated there. That means, kalimatun, kalimatun, the writing will be same, but you can read it different ways. Fatha, muqaddara, kara, zair, kara, pesh, all these things can be included there. And then those qiraats that couldn't be incorporated, that means it had to be written differently. Like I said, taqdeem and ta'khir, right? Where the word is brought changed in the ayat, the meaning doesn't really change. Then a separate copy was made of the Quran in that qiraat. So seven copies of the Quran were made in different qiraats, and a qari was sent in the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu to different parts of the world to teach the people qiraat. And that is how ilmul qiraat came afterwards. Someone learned one qiraat, someone learned two, someone learned seven, someone learned ten, and it moved on from there. So the people would refer to the imam, who was the imam, to learn. And then this became a separate field, and it passed on like that. The different names of the imam, Imam Asim, Imam Nafi, and the different names, I don't want to go into those details. I don't even remember it. I don't think you will remember it. And the different students that they had. So we read the Quran, which is a very popular qiraat, which we hear all the time, Makkah, Medina also. The very popular qiraat is the qiraat of Imam Abu Hafs. The riwayat of Imam Abu Hafs. That is the qiraat that we read. If you open the Waterville Islamic Institute Quran, you turn to the back, they've got some details there, we can read it inshallah. But this is definitely one major part of the Quran and Majid and part of our deen. And that brings us to the conclusion, inshallah, which we will complete next week on, as we explain, the protection of the Quran and the compilation of the Quran. We make dua. Allah Ta'ala accept. We only have 2 weeks left. Allah give us the tawfiq to appreciate these 2 weeks and to do more and more. Wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.